The presidential election is now just weeks away, but thousands of ex-offenders across the country don't know they are eligible to vote in November, even with a past conviction. For more on voting rights, we are now joined by our regular contributor, Lynn Toler. She is the star of TV's Divorce Court. Judge Toler, nice to have you back.
It's good to be here, Tony.
You know, you've been getting pretty hot under the collar about this issue, I understand. Why is it such a concern for you?
It's a concern for me because it's a misunderstanding that a lot of ex-convicts have. If you have a felony, it has been in the past that often states do restrict or disenfranchise those who have a felony conviction. Those laws have changed over the years, and now in most states it's no longer the case, or there are means by which you can get your civil rights back. But a lot of people, a lot of ex-convicts or felons that I knew that ended up in my court system simply rested on the false notion that they did not have the ability to vote. And that ended, and that kept them from further embracing or engaging in the community, and kept them separate and apart and not where they needed to be.
Is it a situation where an ex-felon is entitled to have his or her voting rights restored, but the process by which those voting rights are restored is so cumbersome that they just either don't know about it or they don't go through it?
In some states, that is the truth, but that is in a minority of states. In most states, you get them back automatically, either after a certain period of years or after you're off any restriction like probation or parole. But indeed, in some states, it is so cumbersome, and they don't even know about it, how to go about it. And given the fact that they had been in prison and not negotiating socially and administratively out there, don't even know where to start.
Now, when someone... Is this something that you have spent time either counseling or explaining or teaching or instructing ex-felons how to go about doing this?
Yes, and it's because another judge friend of mine had a thing about it, and he used to tell me all the time, you make sure that everybody who comes before you, even if he has a felony, knows he can vote. And I also had a thing about my frequent flyers, people that I saw in my courtroom all the time, kind of living in a social circle that was so separate from my own. And I wanted to bring them into my own, get them invested and engaged in the community, which I think would make them less likely to reoffend. So I used to ask people who came before me when Bob Dole was running for president, who's Bob Dole? No one ever knew. And so I thought maybe that's just a personal problem he has, maybe that's why he lost, and let me go to who's Al Gore when he was the vice president. No one knew that either. And I used to try to explain to them, to the extent that you are not invested in those people who are guiding the community, it will have an effect on you.
Are the people who come before you and who appear in court elsewhere in the country who have committed crimes of all sorts, are they people who would be likely to vote anyway? And once they are out of prison, would they be likely to pick that up?
And I think, unfortunately, the answer is no. I think the statistic shows us that those are the groups of people that would be least likely to vote or to be interested. And often I found that I'm an ex-felon was the excuse they gave me for not wanting to hear my "you need to vote, you need to vote, you need to vote" speech. So, I mean, it's not an answer to anything if we immediately re-enfranchise those people who were disenfranchised. I don't think you would see a significant increase in those people who ex-felons who would vote because they don't feel otherwise engaged in or a part of the community for a variety of reasons.
What is it that they seem to want the most when they do get out? If restoring their voting rights is on the list, but perhaps low on the list, if it's on their list at all, what would be at the top of that list?
I don't think it's on the list. I think what's on the list is just getting some money and enjoying their freedom. Money is hard to get because they've got a felony on their record. Employment is difficult. They usually don't have a great deal of education. So what they do is they go back into that environment that produced the criminal behavior beforehand, and they kind of have their own rules. And as long as they don't pop up again on the screen of the system, they kind of tool along. So a lot of them don't even have a driver's license and can't get one. So they have a lot of small everyday hurdles to get over, and I don't even think voting makes the list.
Can you give us your opinion about whether or not you think felons should be allowed to vote while they are in prison, and are there any circumstances in any states where that is allowed?
There are two states that allow, I think it's Maine and Vermont, they allow inmates to vote. I don't like that. I don't like that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you have injured society to such an extent that we have taken away your basic freedom and liberty. If you've done that much injury to society, how can you get to lead that which you have injured? And two, if you're voting on a local level, if you do a crime in Chicago, you may go to prison anywhere in the state. So are you going to be able to control a local election in maybe a small town where the prison happens to be in? I find that problematic. I think it's important that once a felon is out, though, he be given every opportunity to be welcomed back, and so he would be less likely to reoffend.
You know, state disenfranchisement laws really impact men primarily. The Sentencing Project reports that some 1.4 million African-American men are affected. But what is the impact on women?
They're a little over. I mean, we always, you know, try to catch up with you guys. There are more and more women that are getting felonies. It's over, I think, almost 700,000 women who are dealing with that. But again, they have so many day-to-day issues of how to feed their kids, how to, you know, get a job, how to get a license and do all that. I really don't see voting does not come up high on their list of things to do.
Really briefly, Judge Toler, our time is up. There is an assumption, a myth perhaps, that those who are incarcerated, if they could vote, would vote Democratic, partly because so many of them are African-American. Is there any truth to that?
I have absolutely no idea.
That's an interesting position, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an interesting position, and I really don't know. But I hope that's not the case, because I don't want everyone to think African-American, Democratic, and then we lose our power.
Interesting. Judge Toler, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was the TV Divorce Court Judge Lynn Toler. She is also the author of My Mother's Rules, A Practical Guide to Becoming an Emotional Genius. Judge Toler was speaking to us from member station KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.